Rockauto.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
Son of a bitch, shit.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
You can count on us.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Before we proceed any further, we gotta get something straight.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Chicks dig me.
Because I rarely wear underwear.
Mace.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Omega.
It's because of you people that I cannot get outside of your box.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
I got the shit kicked out of me in Wisconsin once.
Be a fool if you don't check out WTR Sunday Night.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money.
Dollar, dollar. Dollar, dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling, chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling, patting pockets. We take the dollar, dollar, can a damn soul stop it?
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You know, when they say anything can happen in the WWE, I generally don't believe it anymore. Well, generally.
Well.
If you can't tell by the music, yeah, I didn't see that coming. So we have big things to talk about as we start on the road to WrestleMania.
Now,
register trademark WWE Enterprises 2016.
For pre-recorded video cassettes.
Pre-recorded video cassettes.
By the way, before we do the introduction, so Mike, I got one question for you.
Yeah.
Who are you wearing?
Walmart?
Classy.
So yeah, don't give a shit about the Oscars. I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yes, I am only here because ratings are down, stock prices have dropped, and Rock keeps giving all the awards to Lindsay.
Fair enough. I have no answer for that.
Thursday night's 10 p.m.
I tried to keep it relevant. Jeez.
Thursday night's 10 p.m. Eastern, rockradioshow.com.
You whore!
Yep.
And at the head of the show, wondering what is in our special little lockbox, the one and only Tim Stein.
Hi there!
Hi.
Leading all Oscar nominations, Leonardo DiCaprio. Winning all Oscars, Mad Max.
No. Winning Best Actor tonight will be The Bear. That was with Leo in The Revenant.
I saw that meme, and I think that the Bear should win over Leo. Of course, Leo DiCaprio was a fucking idiot to begin with.
And at the moment, they're doing Best Animated Feature with Buzz and Woody from Toy Story, and the first thing they say is, hey, it's been 20 years since this movie came out. And suddenly, I feel fucking old.
So, to just keep it on the Oscars, I get this tweet from Rob. Hopefully, they snub Leo.
Rob.
And further his title of being the Buffalo Bills of the Oscars.
I think that Leo DiCaprio is an idiot, just probably for different reasons than you guys, but I think we're all in agreement that, I don't know, but I just wish he would go away.
I got some bad news. That's not going to happen.
That sucks. That really, really sucks.
Yay!
Yeah, you see, here where I live in Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada, there's this weather phenomenon we call a Chinook. It's been around since the Rocky Mountains. And what it is, in the wintertime, every year, this warm weather blows in off the Pacific, and the temperature, I'm going to speak in Celsius, and Mace will be probably the only one to understand me, the temperature can go from minus 15 to plus 20 in February. Leo, out here, when he was filming The Revenant, experienced this phenomenon, and insisted it was because of global warming. He was corrected not once, not twice, but five times. And he's sticking to his guns. It's because of global warming, according to Leo. Guy's an idiot.
Maze, have they shown the hashtag Blame Rob segment yet?
Not that I have noticed, but then again, I only started tuning in about 20-odd minutes ago, so I've missed, like, the first hour.
Okay.
So that's mainly why I am tuning in, is because I'm waiting for the Blame Rob segment.
Yeah, it's the annual tradition of the hashtag Blame Rob segment on the Oscars. So, you ready? What, Tim? What?
I was just reflecting back to Chris Rock's opening monologue, which, by the way, he killed and sent the controversy right over the cliff. Congratulations, Chris Rock. Good job. Then he said that all the people on what you're calling the Blame Rob segment of the Oscars were going to be the black people who got killed on their way to the movies?
Yes, that's exactly what he said, yes.
Yeah, that was wow.
No, you got to remember, they also showed a great little feature for Black History Month. They went and gave the honors for you know, the accomplishment of black in action to Jack Black.
And they also sent poor Stacey Dash out there to say, here's Black History Month or something to that effect. And
she said Happy Black History Month. Yeah. I saw you sent a line on Twitter. One person clapping as she walks away, and it was a sarcastic clap.
Yep.
It's not a holiday.
And apparently, like, I'm watching this Vine and I see everybody in the audience, they're doing the golf clap because, you know, like, you have to make noise. But, because I'm not watching the Oscars. Rock, you said that was really close to what happened in real life.
Yeah, it was bad. Crickets all around. It was awful.
Well, you can follow it on Twitter where apparently Oprah has a tattoo now.
I saw that too.
Oprah's got a tattoo?
There's like a big beauty Twitter account that was commenting on the Oscars, and someone took a photo and they said, oh look, Oprah's got a tattoo. That's awesome. It was a photo of Whoopi Goldberg.
Well, Whoopi has put on a few pounds, and it looks like most of it was in her cheeks.
Yeah, but it really doesn't matter, because it came across as all black people look alike, which is,
ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You really screwed that one up. Good job.
Tonight of all nights.
Welcome to the African sensitive edition of Wild Talk Radio.
You know, I'm gonna say it. When there's enough African American actors boycotting the Oscars tonight, maybe the ones who show up you should get right. Just saying.
It might not be a bad idea if you're gonna fuck with somebody, like, don't be wrong. It's kinda like being a grammar Nazi on social media and spelling incorrectly.
Yeah, but it's also, hey, Oprah and Whoopi Goldberg look nothing alike. Just saying.
Well, yeah, they're close to the same height.
Okay, look, you've watched enough goddamn Star Trek to know when, you know, Oprah from Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay, yeah, Oprah still has her eyebrows. I always wonder about that. Does she, like, permanently shave her eyebrows off, or did they fall out and never grow back?
No, I haven't asked her lately.
Not Oprah, everybody. We're talking Whoopi now, just in case. Yeah, anyway, Oscar night, so I guess the obligatory Oscar talk had to take place. But you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And special thanks to PW Mania, of course, for the affiliation. If you're checking us out on PW Mania, head on over to wildtalkradio.com, get into the chat room, and interact with everybody that's in there, hosts included. Mace is there, Rock's there, I'm there. Omega, for some reason, can't handle the chat room and Skype at the same time. I don't know.
Multitask during shows, okay?
You know, I think what it is the fact that you live in Florida, and let's face it, that's the place people go to die.
No, it's that he's sitting there waiting for the latest Glios to go on sale so he doesn't miss out on it.
No, that was Tuesday.
Oh, and you're right.
They managed to break PayPal, which was kind of special.
I thought that you were just, like, refreshing eBay, waiting for the buy now price.
You don't go to eBay for that. They triple the prices. It's fucking stupid.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So I guess we should actually talk wrestling. There's a couple of things that of interest that took place this past week, starting last Monday night. Shane O'Mac is back, guys. Shane McMahon, he makes a surprise return to WWE.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. This is a thing that happened.
This is the thing that happened, but when he shows up and gets in Dad's face, he demands control of Monday Night Raw. He's pointing out low ratings, low stocks, Steph and Triple H running the company into the ground. And we find out he's got something on his old man that allows him to come back and cash in some kind of marker. And Vince says, okay, you want Raw? You wrestle one match at WrestleMania, and if you win, you get Raw. Only one thing. Your opponent is The Undertaker.
This is a really weird promo that started off like debut Y2J and returning Ric Flair at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then Vince McMahon going Teddy Long on us and say, okay, you cross me, you have to fight The Undertaker. Fuck you. Which I'll go ahead and apologize now. I just got done recording a 2.5 hour PG podcast, so I'm going to really enjoy the word fuck tonight.
Well, that's different from any other Sunday night how.
All of a sudden, I expect Omega to start busting out the song at the start of Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back.
I've never seen, so that wouldn't happen.
Fail me, sir. Go educate yourself.
Not my kind of movie.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there's no people in spandex jumping around.
So, yeah, last week, guys, we attempted to speculate who Undertaker's opponent would be, and I let fly the info that sources were saying that the person he was going to face was not currently with the company. Turns out that was true.
Yeah, technically, it was.
Yeah. When I will give WWE this much credit, would never have called that.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys pop when you saw it, when you heard the music?
Yeah, I popped when I heard Shane's music. I popped when he did the whole low ratings thing. I popped when he said, hey, I want to take control Raw. I'm like, hey, this is actually looking very interesting. And then it was like, oh, we're going to put you up against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And all my excitement fucking crashed and burned.
Mine started waning right there when he started losing track of his next line. Generational.
Vince picked that up so well. generational. Vince just jumps straight in and saves his ass.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the good thing about having Vince McMahon as your dad when you're in the ring trying to cut a promo after being gone for almost 10 years, I guess.
Yeah, he hasn't actually been gone that long. He's only been gone 7 years.
It feels like 10 years.
He had his last match at Backlash 2009.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah, and he's bargained off, and like he said in his promo, he started up some pretty successful companies, and yeah. But I tell you, I was working late last week, so I didn't get home until 7:15. Turn on the TV halfway through his promo, and I'm like, Shane's back? Holy shit. Just like total holy shit. And I dug the moment. Then I caught the replay of Raw, watched it from the beginning. And initially, my initial thoughts were, well, he's out of breath, he's out of shape, and all this other stuff. Then I realized, watching it, that he was just so overwhelmed by the reaction of the crowd. You can prepare yourself for 6 months for something like that. When it actually hits, all the preparation that you have done goes right out the window, and it'll hit you right in the feels, which is, I guess that's what happened with Shane.
Oh, he was almost crying at one point.
Totally overwhelmed.
It's like, people remember me. Oh, yay.
But, yeah, no, the crowd reaction was really, really off the chain with the, holy shit chants and Shane O'Mac chants. They were digging the fact that he's returned, and I have to admit, that got me excited for the rest of Raw, strangely enough.
I was sort of opposite once the whole thing, oh, you're going to go up against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I sort of went, ah, great. And at that point, like, the rest of Raw just didn't really matter. Like, no. we got it. It was such a big moment. It was such a great sort of return the rest of Raw didn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that was your focus piece, and everything else could go to hell. I don't even remember the rest of Raw.
You sound like all these people who wasted money to go to a movie theater, watch trailers for the Star Wars prequels, and then leave as soon as the prequels, the trailers had shown.
Well, it wasn't really that. It was just that, to me, that the rest of Raw just wasn't engaging.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe they should have held off?
No. After the last couple of weeks, they really needed something big and positive to start the show.
And that definitely was something huge to start the show.
Yeah, now, plus shit, you know, look at what one of your main events is going to be going into WrestleMania, Triple H versus Roman Reigns. Triple H never works first when he's got the title, man. He's always that main event. Always close show with Triple H.
Yeah. And you're not looking forward to that, I can tell.
Fucking hate it.
Yeah, I thought so.
at this point, it's another four weeks left for me, and I'm done. I'm now watching that countdown clock more than I'm watching Raw.
Well, what is it now? 30 days? 31 days? Or is it 38 days?
I don't know, because it's currently the 29th of February here, so everything's sort of fucked up.
Yeah, that messes you up a little bit, I guess. Well, you know, at this point in time, Shane is simply an on-air character. He's got no involvement in the business side. Now, the qualifier for that is no involvement yet. However, now the internet for the past week has blown up with, oh, Raw's going to get better. Raw's going to get edgier because Shane is back and they're all figuring, well, you know, he's the savior and he's going to write the shows and make them really good. And I'm like, dude, seriously?
Yeah, no. That's shooting for the moon right there. Like, even when he was part of the WWE, Shane was never really involved on that side of it.
Not so much. He was always more of an on-air talent than anything else.
It was on-air, backstage management. He wasn't the one writing it, and he wasn't the one booking it, and he wasn't the one in charge of how good it was.
Yeah.
He just happened to be a guy in charge, guy with some authority who happened to be around when things were better. That's about the extent of it.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I've come across, different websites underneath news postings with the comments, different opinion columns and stuff like that. There are a lot of people who are not impressed with the fact that Shane's going to be wrestling. Never mind he's wrestling The Undertaker. He's like, oh, Shane McMahon's son is getting in the ring. These people bitching and complaining, I can only speculate they've never watched WWE when Shane was with the company. They're all bitching and complaining, oh, he's not a wrestler, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking these people have never seen him fly across the ring with that trash can into somebody's face.
Well, to be fair, even if they have, it's not like he was been working the indies since he left WWE and has managed to hold on to his ring chops. You know, the guy is 46 years old now, has not stepped into the ring in any way, shape, or form. And it's not like he's stayed close to the company and has had reason to work out. Like, there's reports that he's been getting into better shape. But better shape is a long way from ring shape.
Yeah, this you have a very solid point there. But
not to mention, what we remember from Shane McMahon is instantly nullified when you remember this is going to be a Hell in the Cell match. So Shane has nothing big to jump off of.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say that.
Well, the cell itself, but...
We've seen some insane jumps off that cell.
You're never going to see anyone jump off that cell again.
Yeah. Well, you never know. It is Shane. But you brought up the fact that he hasn't been touring the indies or anything like that for 7 years. At the same time, we don't know that he hasn't gotten into the ring just to, you know, just to work out here and there every now and then. I mean, that's entirely possible. I'm not saying that, sure, it happened, because I'm speculating, then it's obviously true. I'm not saying that. But you get guys like, you know, Chris Jericho. He goes on tour with Fozzy. He's not wrestling for however long he's on tour. However, Fozzy's downtime. He's in Calgary in the ring, farting around with Lance Storm at Storm Wrestling Academy just to make sure that the ring rust does not collect. Who's to say that Shane hasn't done that for a few years?
He's had a job in China in a boardroom. That's how.
Well, you know.
Shane was never an active wrestler in the first place. He had an occasional match, and it was mostly a car wreck match.
Yeah.
You know, no one has ever described Shane McMahon as a solid ring tactician.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he goes in there and he jumps off of really tall things, or he takes the biggest beating on the show.
Yeah, well, insane bumps, giving as well as taking. Sort of like a lighter version of Mick Foley in Mixed Prime.
Either way, there's a big, big difference between Shane McMahon and Y2J.
Well, I know that.
Yeah, obviously.
I wasn't comparing the two talent-wise.
Also, he... As far as we know, Shane is not on DDP Yoga.
Again, we don't know this one way or the other because we're not getting any info on it. So, but lack of information does not disprove anything. I admit, the returns are vanishingly small, especially nowadays with the internet and all of the dirt out there. That if he was doing something, we probably may have heard about it. And yeah, we haven't heard about anything. But absence of proof is not proof of absence. Just saying.
I'm just saying my expectations right now are kind of low.
Yeah. Well, the fact that it's in the Hell in a Cell, is that beneficial to the fact that Shane probably hasn't been in a ring for 7 years? We've talked about it. Street fights, no holds barreds, pins count anywhere. Those types of matches usually protect one of the wrestlers or the other in certain situations, in certain circumstances. Is a Hell in a Cell match going to protect Shane and his,
anytime you do an extreme match, it's to protect somebody.
No.
You know, that's why a lot of, Vince's matches have always been extreme rules, no holds barred, etc. That's why a lot of Ric Flair's late matches in the WWE were no holds barred. Because
yep.
It's easier and safer to whack people with things and push them into things than it is to execute choreographed wrestling moves.
Yeah. Well, you know, the general wrestling public and casual fan is definitely not aware of this, unless, of course, they'll listen to us pull back the curtain every now and then, I guess. But, yeah. Now, here's the thing. I don't know of any WrestleMania where The Undertaker was not expected to win or cheered on to victory. And we discussed the logic of Brock Lesnar winning over Taker at WrestleMania to build Brock up as the unstoppable force, the absolute penultimate beast. And as shocking as it was that Taker lost, it wasn't unexpected, I guess. It was what it wasn't.
It was one of the few people on the planet that would convincingly beat The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And we had to view it as what told the best story here. And Brock's run since, I think, has kind of proven that to be probably the best thing they could have done.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people all pissed off that Taker finally lost at WrestleMania. And a lot of people very happy he finally lost at WrestleMania. I think this is the only time there's going to be a split in the crowd. And I'm not talking about the hardcore insiders who are convinced that a Taker is going to beat Shane, you know, like us. I'm talking about the people who are tuning in who don't know the ins and outs of the business. Those people, I think this is the first time in like, what is it, 23 years now of WrestleManias where the crowd is going to be split at least 50-50 on Taker's opponent.
Not that you'll ever notice when you hear it, because every WrestleMania for at least the last 5 or so years having take place in outdoor arenas to maximize crowd butts in seats, you can't hear shit.
Well, yeah, this is true. The only time that you can hear anything is if you're actually there in an outdoor venue. It just does not come across because the noise goes straight up.
Unless Daniel Bryan's there.
Unless Daniel Bryan is there.
Then it's loud enough to hear.
Well,
I fully expect them to wheel him out for a segment just for the pop, just for the noise.
So at this point in time, are you guys kind of sort of hoping, even though you got it figured out, it's not going to happen? Are you hoping for a Shane O'Mac victory?
Honestly, this is one of those times where I'm like, you know, the stipulation just gives it away for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like if control of Raw wasn't on the line, because really, we know what's going to happen in the world title match. That's kind of a foregone conclusion at this point.
Yeah.
You know, if they're going to shake up the authority angle, and God, they need to shake up the authority angle.
It's
either shake it up or completely trash it at this point.
Uh-huh.
That's when to do it. After they've been that thoroughly defeated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be a pretty good way to do it. Shane O'Mac gets control of Raw.
Yeah.
No, and it's one of those things where you can kind of shake the formula up, and he doesn't even have to be there.
No.
He announces Daniel Bryan as commissioner, you know, his voice on Raw, you know, and, you know, Shane can just go back off to China, do his little web stream business or whatever he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they can shoot quote unquote backstage segments. Doesn't matter where Shane is. They can make it look like it's backstage live happening as on the Jumbotron or the Titantron, whatever the hell. Like. And they could make it, you know, just as relevant and topical as they want that way. That's never been an issue, actually. So
plus even the result of the match, like even though we're all saying, yeah, Shane McMahon's going to win because of the stipulation, rah, 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 there's about a million different ways that it can happen, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you either have, you know, Shane pins The Undertaker straight, or hell, you could have Shane throughout the entire match as he's getting his ass kicked by The Undertaker, trying to explain to him, I'm trying to do this to get them out. And at the end of it, you know, Undertaker just sort of goes, you know what? You're right. And he just either lays down or goes, you know what? You win. I forfeit. Enjoy it, kid.
I would love for like Stephanie to come down and start barking at the Undertaker to kill her brother.
Like, yeah, that's the type of thing I mean. It's like you know,
eventually,
yeah,
like just
Stephanie
like
at ringside.
It had to be Stephanie because Tripp's got business right after that match.
True,
but like just like berating him. Like, what are you doing? Hurry up and finish him off. This is what you're paid to do. Go do it. And just getting absolutely fucking sick of this shit. And go, you know what, Steph? Fuck you. Lay down. 1, 2, 3.
Well, I don't remember.
Then, of course, you'd have to follow that up with Vince coming out angry as all hell, having a go at The Undertaker, and he takes the tombstone.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, I don't see Undertaker lying down in any situation, but I do see him walking away. And here's...
It's Hell in a Cell. That would be very difficult.
Well, yeah. here's a scenario.
Keep in mind, this is Undertaker. It's hard for him to walk to Hell in a Cell, let alone walk out.
Never mind. Yeah, okay. Well, here's a scenario for you. Halfway through the match, Shane is having his ass handed to him 3 weeks from Sunday by Taker. Out comes Vince to be the cheerleader. He actually gets inside the cell. They'll open it up for him, whatever. And he's clapping and cheering on. And Undertaker's got Shane in a chokehold, ready for a choke slam. Stops, looks at Shane, looks at Vince, looks at Shane, looks at Vince. Let's go as Shane, and just walks out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ding, ding.
No countouts in a Hell in a Cell.
But he never comes back.
It doesn't matter. There's no countouts in the Hell in a Cell.
Then it's a no contest. He can't be disqualified.
So
there's no winner there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that just leads to rumors that we've got a little bit further down in this first segment that I'm going to bring up in just a little bit. But one way or the other, in my little scenario, Linda McMahon now shows up because, let's face it, she's not running for...
No.
anymore.
No, let's for the first time in a million years, let's not have every single McMahon involved in a goddamn angle, please. Because I'm getting shades of fucking WrestleMania 2000, and that's not pretty.
That was a while back. I'm just positive.
Yeah, remember WrestleMania where the headline was a McMahon in every corner?
Yeah. I was just positing one possible scenario.
There's another scenario that we haven't even considered, which would be, what if Shane appoints a proxy to go up against The Undertaker? Say a certain, recovering man by the name of John Cena?
Mm-hmm. Cena would have... Okay, we joke about Cena Superman. He would literally have to have Wolverine's superhuman healing ability in order to make it back to Mania at this point. I don't care if he's training like a fiend right now.
You do remember this was the guy that they said was going to be out for like 8 months with an injury and reappeared 3 months later, right?
How long was he after neck surgery?
He is quite a bit older now. Things don't quite heal up as fast as they used to.
So is Wolverine, but he still heals.
Okay. How about this? Vince didn't say proxy. Vince said Shane has a match. Now, if you want to take if it was a typical McMahon, and he said, "Okay, look, it's Hell in the Cell. It's no disqualification. I'm just going to have someone come to the ring with me, and they can do all the wrestling and all the fighting, and I'll just go in there and get the 1-2-3." Except it's Shane.
I don't see Shane doing what any other member of the McMahon family would do at this point, and have somebody accompany him to do all the physical work before he gets the glory with the pin.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Shane, I don't see that happening.
It was a theory. It was an idea. It was something out there.
Yeah, no, it's no more outlandish than my posit, but mine needs Linda for it to actually happen. That's the only caveat.
And the complete change of rule sets for the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, that's the only caveat. I mean, Undertaker disappears, and then Linda shows up and says, "No, you know what? Count them out." Because after all, she's like on the board of directors, isn't she? Technically.
Technically, yes, but
yeah,
nobody remembers and nobody cares.
I'm not saying this is what I want to see happen. I'm just saying, it's one avenue they could go, and the only reason why we're spending a whole bunch of time on this is because of the rumor that we're going to bring up right after we talk about the beatdown from Triple H onto Roman Reigns after the main event. Have you checked out any of the mainstream sports sites or news sites all over the internet?
Sports?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That's that sports ball thing that you don't follow. Sorry, Omega. On a lot of these sites, it was reported that at the Raw show last Monday night, Roman Reigns legitimately suffered a broken nose thanks to Triple H. People are saying, does son-in-law get fined because of all the blood and everything else like that, blah, blah, blah. You know, here's the thing. He didn't get a broken nose. He didn't get a face full of blood. Tell me that you saw the video of the blood pack being handed over to Roman by Byron Sachs.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Once again, Byron not the best at his job.
Well, here's the thing. Somebody was filming that, and then they let it go onto the internet. It wasn't like it was caught on regular TV, but it was plain as day on that video that a blood.
Well, it could also be plain as day to anyone watching there. I mean,
yeah. Well, yes,
did a little bit better job, if not for the camera, than for the audience.
I mean, he was standing more than 4 feet away, and actually had to walk over and hand it to Roman while Roman was face down on top of the announce table. That kind of sort of buggered things up a bit. But first off, Mace, as somebody who has worked in the ring and has been around first or second hand exposure to juicing, as we call it in the business, blading, using a piece of a razor. Gimmicked up that you use to cut yourself. What do you think about them having used the blood pack this time around instead of going for the cutting?
They're protecting the pretty boy.
That was your first thought?
Pretty much. They're protecting the pretty boy because he has a lot of posters he's probably going to be on this year.
Mm-hmm. My first thought.
I saw it. I'm like, I really couldn't give a flying fuck. I've seen worse stuff. Hell, I was at a show on Saturday where I saw a friend of mine I've known for 10 years, and in the wrestling business, he had a ladder match, had a gaping hole in the back of his head from a ladder that he went face first into.
Yep.
Now, that was an accomplishment because the cut was on the back of his head. But that's Mad Dog for you. But, I see the guys pissing blood and they get cut open the hard way, and that's the type of shit the crowd reacted to. Then I see, you know, I saw the stuff on Monday with, you know, oh, Roman's busted open, and then I hear, oh, it was a blood pack. I'm like, well, okay, cool. We've officially gone to the point where we might as well make this into, fucking, like, Lucha Underground, where it is presented literally as a dramatized TV show that just happens to have wrestling in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you know.
I'm sorry. It just goes more to the credence of this is no longer pro wrestling as a sport, and it is sports entertainment, basically a drama show based around professional wrestling.
Well, you know, Vince has called it sports entertainment ever since the Attitude Era. So, you know, and it,
yes, and he called it that for tax purposes.
Well, yeah, he was dodging the tax man in different states, certain different states. This is true. My bringing it up, you know, just trying to regain my track of thought here. Instead of being legitimately bloodied, they used a blood pack, and there was a lot of, even though it was fake, there was a lot of air quotes blood, and we haven't seen a lot of that lately. As a matter of fact, we have in the past bitched, moaned, and complained about them stopping main event matches on pay-per-views so the wrestlers could have their faces wiped down and Vaseline applied to cuts. And yet here it is. The final segments of the final hour of Raw, and they're showing all of this blood. Now, on SmackDown, the following night, I noticed that the entire, you know, thanks to computer graphics, Triple H, Roman Reigns, they were all in black and white. The surrounding area was still full color. But they went black and white on SmackDown. So you didn't notice, you know, you didn't see the blood. They didn't bother blocking it out, blacking it out, or minimizing it on Raw itself.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Roman got motor oil all over him.
But on SmackDown,
I knew it. Roman Reigns is a transformer.
On SmackDown, they showed it earlier.
No, he's not. I don't like him enough.
On SmackDown, they showed it earlier in the night. And, you know, that's when they showed it all in black and white. This whole thing, people are bitching and complaining that it's all, you know, too kid friendly, and the three of us have done that on occasion ourselves. Now, with Shane McMahon's return, people are thinking we're going to get an edgier product. Now, with Shane's return, reports are saying that Raw between now and WrestleMania will wind up being a slightly edgier product. They've got 3 hours. It comes on at 6 o'clock Mountain Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time in North America, and it ends at 9 o'clock Mountain, midnight Eastern, after prime time.
Okay,
a lot of the kids get to watch the first hour and a half of Raw, and then they're sent off to bed. Can they do half Raw a little more kid-friendly than the second half? Make that a little edgier.
No, I don't have any thoughts about the blood packet, by the way.
Okay, I'm sorry, Omega, that, you know, kind of... What are your thoughts about the blood packet, Omega?
Jesus Christ.
It's red and it comes in plastic.
My first thought was, what the hell happened to Roman's hand, because he didn't touch his face in any way. That's the thing about where the blood packet gets to me the most is, well, okay, his face is real bloody right now. His hand is suspiciously bloody for some reason.
Yeah.
So that's where the separation comes from. I do notice enough. Like, I notice, like, Triple H going in with, like, really short twisting punches, like he's trying to juice an injury, trying to get more blood flowing, which is, like, it's an old standard. I've seen that a lot.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting to see that... they're trying to get one over on the internet by like kind of playing it up that way.
Okay. Yeah.
Like I feel like that's like intentionally trying to make it work that way. It's kind of frustrating where you kind of get things a little bit hypocritical in segments like this because, okay, we're going to find Batista to the tune of like, I think it was $250,000 for blading.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's, even whether it's a blade or a blood packet, you're still showing a fictional character bleeding profusely on your TV show. But it's the boss's son-in-law, so he can do that just fine. And in the same night, Vince can drop an F-bomb on national television. Censors caught it. Crowd still had a lot of people who heard it,
mm-hmm.
as Vines and YouTube will show you.
Yep. WWE is
nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. No fines, no punishments. You know, if you are a McMahon, everyone gets to do whatever they want without so much as a slap on the wrist.
Well, yeah, he does own the company. I mean, like, you know, do as I say, not as I do, because I am the boss after all.
Oh, okay, I turned the Oscars on and Oprah's on right now, so that's cool. So,
are you sure it's Oprah and not, like...
That's the joke! Shut up! I just don't think... I don't like it. Well, you have to keep... You know, where... People are saying it's hypocritical because he just fined Tyson for inappropriate behavior on TV.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, I'm not going to equate dropping an F-bomb that can be censored over, like, grabbing the boss and tugging him off his path.
Yeah.
On national TV, but, yeah, that's still, like, disorderly conduct on TV. It's still unprofessional behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. And it does harken back to the, the bygone days, as it were.
Yeah, it does bother me because it is just a few weeks after the Titus incident.
Yeah, what is that guy's name again? I don't know. He's black.
Oh, shut up. Okay, so the Oprah incident.
There you go. Okay. Are you sure? Yeah, never mind.
I don't know. Like, I see people making a bigger deal out of it, but it does kind of bother me. It does kind of bother me. They get away with whatever they want and then, you know, charge six digits for anybody else to do it.
Yeah. Well, what was it, 2 years between this incident and Batista's fine? Is that about right?
It's still the PG rating.
Yeah. But that goes back to what I was bringing up there. Can they do kid-friendly 90 minutes and a little edgier second 90 minutes?
They could.
Would it work?
It would only work if it was the back half.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because kids are asleep, but because we can't have a bunch of bleeding wrestlers, you know, high damage spots, profanity being replayed in the second half.
Yeah.
So you might be able to get away with that. Then again, Vince is dropping F-bombs at, you know, 8:30.
Yeah, that was. That did have me wondering, why would he drop an F-bomb? Was that just like, oops, or was he legitimately...
You can make arguments... Okay.
Go ahead. Teacher, can I please say something?
See, I'll let Mace in when he wants to speak about something.
Okay, here's the thing. Vince dropping an F-bomb, them using a blood pack to simulate blood on television, it's the same thing we see. We see this every year. This is the one time a year where we see Vince start going, oh, look, this wallet that I have that's usually closed 99% of the year, I'm going to open it up a little bit more. Oh, wait, you're going to fine me for swearing on television? Here's your money. Oh, you're going to fine me for showing blood on television? Here's your money. Because it's generating interest. And this is the one time a year that Vince goes out of his way to try and make the product seem edgier and seem more exciting with the things that a lot of the sort of quote-unquote hardcore wrestling fans like to see, because he's trying to sell WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's trying to spike the ratings leading into April.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that and pay off the FCC for whatever fines they want to put down for, okay, well, you run a PG product and you're showing blood or you're dropping F-bombs, so we're going to put out this much money. That's still a board of directors he has to account for that kind of behavior, that they don't – it's not the money that he hands out that concerns them. It's the money they have coming in, and that comes from sponsors that also expect them to maintain that PG because they want a younger audience seeing their product.
In a way, no, not really. The investors and the board of directors only give a crap about that little thing on the stock ticker that says WWE share price. And you'll find at WrestleMania, because of the increase in buy rates and network subscriptions go up and all that type of thing, that share price gets a bump. And it looks good in their next financial, report. And that's what the board of directors care about. That's what the people buying shares. That's all they care about. As long as they make money off their shares that they have in the company, they couldn't give a flying fuck less about the sponsors. They couldn't care less about the sponsors and the FCC and all that shit. And by the way, we've got the Where's Rob segment on.
Saw that.
Where's Rob? Fucking blame Rob.
Yeah, where's Waldo?
Fuck, I'm tongue-tied today for some fucking reason. But, as long as the share price is good and they're making money off their shares, they couldn't give a fuck about the FCC sponsors or anything like that. They don't care.
Mm.
That's why Vince can get away with this shit, because he's bumping that share price, he's making them that money. If he has to open his own personal purse strings to do it, then so be it. He doesn't care, he makes that up with WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen the stock prices from 2 weeks ago and then from like Friday, so I don't know what the comparison is. But I'm willing to bet that the stocks are worth a little bit more tonight than they were 24 or like 7 days ago. So, by how much, I, again, wouldn't have any idea. But, all of this just brings us full circle. Right back to the last bit on our run sheet before our first break, and that's the rumors of another brand split having surfaced. What do you guys think about another brand split? First off.
Before we go into the brand split, when Raw started last week, the share price was at $16.46, and it is currently sitting at $16.82 with a high on Wednesday at $17.20.
Okay,
so
it did spike them.
Yeah, it's done a gradual increase.
Yeah. Well, then again, when you're talking about 40 cents a share, you have to remember that you got a minimum amount of shares, and different companies have different minimums. WWE could be at 100 or 1,000, and if it's 1,000, then that's a lot of money on your, that's a hefty return on your initial investment when you bought your shares at what? Initially, what was the IPO? $9? $8?
Something along those lines.
Yeah.
And WWE stock always sits somewhere between $14 and $18.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty solid investment, surprisingly enough.
Well, but, it's steady.
Like going back a full 5 days, they were at just at $15.54. So they've added over a dollar, nearly $2 in the past week alone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so those people who have WWE stocks will be happy, because that's what happens.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, brand split.
Thank you very much for that. Yeah, what do you guys think? Would another brand split at this point in time be a good idea? I mean, both shows are on the USA Network now.
The language makes me think that's the direction they want to go in.
Uh-huh.
Because Shane specifically said, I want Raw.
Yep.
I really hope not. Right now, they're struggling to fill 3 hours, and they can't really afford to split the roster in half without cutting Raw back to two.
You don't see that happening.
No.
Okay.
Like, see, WWE right now has plenty of talent, plenty of guys they could have on rotation to come in, either do the, you know, do a job or have a run where they look a little bit better, maybe go for a mid-card title and then kind of fade off again. Like, there's enough guys in there. You could have a pretty good, you know, revolving door of talent and roster to keep things fresh.
Yep.
But if you cut that in half, but, you know, they've kind of shot themselves in the foot because the rule of thumb is everyone stays even. Everyone gets their wins and losses back. Someone who loses one week gets to win the next. No one really gets to look strong except Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even like Roman Reigns, who's the next golden boy, pretty much sits even most of the time. You know, he might get screwed out of his out of some wins. You know, it might be a dirty loss, but he takes plenty of losses too, and he really shouldn't be. So to split the roster in half on top of that kind of behavior,
yeah,
you're gonna be in a brand split for maybe 3 months before you're repeating matches, and everyone knows, like, I just saw this. You know, it's Ziggler and Owens for the 89th time. And now all of a sudden, like, you're going to create, like, such a depleted talent pool. And I don't care how many you bring in from the indies and how many you bring up from NXT. You're not going to be able to fill, especially, a three-hour show.
Yeah.
You know, let alone a three-hour and then a two-hour.
Well, this repetitiveness that you just mentioned, you know, that's something that I noticed almost immediately with SmackDown versus Raw, when Raw was at 2 hours a week, you know, all the way back 10 years ago. And, of course, to counter that, they would do the draft once a year, every spring.
Drafts usually came, like, every other year. Mm. But that's also when a lot of the Attitude Era and talent was a little bit fresher. They could bring in people to kind of feud for a while and then go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, like, that's the era where, like, they ran so low. SmackDown's main event for one pay-per-view was Brock Lesnar versus Hardcore Holly.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I've got a lot of respect for Holly. He ain't a main eventer.
He's not in the same league as Brock by any stretch of the imagination.
He's not in the same league. He's not in the same division. He's barely in the same sport. Like, he is good. He's a good trainer. Stiff as fuck, admittedly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, he is not main event. He is not. Yep. He is not competing for any belts.
Mace, you're agreeing with Omega here?
Yeah, to a degree. Like, if we were at a currently full strength roster,
yeah,
then I wouldn't be opposed to the idea as much.
Okay.
Because at the moment, it seems that we've got, you know, one or two stories, and that's it. If there was one thing that was a positive about the brand split, was more people were getting TV time, more people were getting their own storylines.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Oscar's Chris Rock bringing out little boxes for a kid to stand on so he can get to the microphone. That's awesome. Yeah, like,
how is your feet ahead of mine?
Because I'm in the future.
Yeah, it's Monday for
tomorrow. I have the same issue with WWE pay-per-views as well. I, like, when I'm watching on the network with somebody in the States, for some reason my feed's always, like, a little bit ahead of theirs. I don't know why, even though it's a live show. The world is weird. But yeah, like, I only want the brand split to come back, or a roster split to happen, if the roster was there enough to sustain it. At the moment, there's so many people out injured that if you were to split the roster, then you would pretty much be splitting it into the strong show and the weak show. You know, the A show and the B show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it would be extremely noticeable.
Oh, but they would put John Cena on SmackDown, so it's all okay.
Well, oh, yeah, totally, for all of 4 seconds.
Yeah, here's the thing about doing another brand split. Wouldn't you have to bring back Teddy Long for that? If you're going to do a brand split.
I wouldn't be opposed to this. Or, you know, you could do something along the lines of, my name is Paul Heyman, and I am the advocate for the brand of SmackDown?
No.
God, I miss Paul Heyman on creative for SmackDown.
It's unfortunate, but it would be Shane versus Steph. You know that's how they would play this. Triple H and Steph would run off to SmackDown and go, you know what, if we can't have Raw, we'll make SmackDown better than Raw.
Click. Click. Click.
On the upside, if I only have to stomach Triple H and Stephanie McMahon and the Authority by watching SmackDown, so basically I'm never going to see them again.
Then you can live with that.
Yeah, I suppose that's not too bad considering I don't even watch SmackDown anyway, so why am I complaining?
We're for this now. You wouldn't want Paul Heyman to be the guy on SmackDown because then you'd have to watch SmackDown.
Yeah, but with Paul Heyman on SmackDown, I know that SmackDown would actually be interesting. We might have to revisit this idea at some point. Because we know, Vince likes to listen to the show and steal our ideas.
He does, so we should give him as many ideas as we can and see what sticks. And then claim credit for it.
No, I'm sick of giving him his ideas and never getting paid for it, so fuck him.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know what the Joker said in Dark Knight, if you're good at something, never do it free. That's why we're doing WTR Sunday night. Oh, God. Okay, now, the reason why I brought up the rumors of the brand split, apparently there were two separate TV listings discovered for May 23rd, which is the Monday after Extreme Rules. It was the TV listings said it right out there in bold face. WWE Monday Night Raw versus WWE. That was since taken down and just said Monday Night Raw. Ticketmaster even put it out as well. So three separate sources calling it Monday Night Raw versus WWE. Ticketmaster got rid of that too. Did they just spoil something by accident? This is not the first time something has actually come to pass that was initially put out there and then taken down.
It could be. And considering that we're all in agreement that Shane's getting control of Monday Night Raw, then it might not happen at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that listing is coming at May 23rd, you know, that's the Monday after Extreme Rules.
Yep, so it sounds like something might go down at Extreme Rules as a rematch type idea, right?
Quite possibly, and the 23rd is usually the slot for Monday Night Raw. So, who knows? But then again, the other thing could be, is it like an actual WWE show, or is it a special? There's not much information about it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for all we know, it could be a truncated title because it's so damn long, and it cut off the word WWE Legends, and it's just going to be an episode that brings in a bunch of old guys. All we have right now is a name.
You know, that has been eradicated as quickly as it got put out there.
Yeah, I do think there is something to it, mm-hmm. but we don't even know if that's the full name or not. So right now, we're just kind of... It's all just speculation. Like, there's no substance behind it yet.
We've got like 87 days to wait for this now to find out if it was just a typo or if something's going to go down. We'll get an inkling, you know, like the night of WrestleMania for sure. We'll have, you know, by the end of the night, we'll have something figured out whether or not something's going down for Extreme Rules. So there is that. Guys, we've been talking for over an hour. I think it's time for our first break of the night. What do you say?
We'll be back after these commercial messages.
I'm taking that as a yes. Everybody listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget you can download the TuneIn app on your mobile device, your tablet, whatever, and you can listen to us when you're at the library studying for that big test tomorrow or you know, you're out at the bar with your friends. If you're listening to us, then you need new friends. Anywhere you are where you don't want to be tied to a computer or can't be tied to a computer, but you want to listen to us ramble, download the TuneIn app, search for Wild Talk Radio Network, and listen to any programming we got on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That being said, don't go anywhere. We still have a hell of a lot more coming up right after this quick little timeout.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gift bang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a... fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot. But,
watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
It's just getting weirder and weirder. Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have. Gundam style. Gundam style. Gundam style. Oh, not the pelvic thrust.
What, Mr. Sulu in the sky?
Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I know.
That 800 million. Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock.
I'll have to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless ours, made in America.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after the Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because the Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of the Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply DaBomb.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Come get on the train. Flipping ain't easy.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us this Sunday night, February the 28th. Strangely enough, not the last day of February. That's right. It's leap year. Don't forget, tomorrow's still February. Some people are born February 29th, only have a birthday once every 4 years.
This gets real confusing when the obituary reads that they died at the ripe old age of 19.
Yeah, I'm like technically, yeah, I would be 12 years old if I was born on leap year. Interesting. Well, you know, here's a bit of a head scratcher as far as I'm concerned. Coming back, we heard the intro for The Godfather. He was revealed last Monday night as the next inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame.
This saddens me for numerous reasons.
Are you wrapping your head around the fact that he's been inducted?
It's not that.
No, okay.
It's not that. Cause
easy.
Considering some of the guys who are in the Hall of Fame, yeah. This is fine. I look at the graphic on Monday Night Raw when they show the current class of 2016, and it's Sting, the born-again Christian who refused to be part of the WWE until they changed their image.
Yeah.
Next to a pimp.
Yeah.
That's a little iffy. Congratulations, Sting.
I have to admit, that was the first thing that went through my head, Sting and Godfather 1 and 2.
Was Val Venus next?
Oh, that'd be priceless. Of course, he'd have to go on a major diet and talk to DDP about getting into the yoga program first. Have you seen him lately?
Yeah. Yeah, he's become the big Valboski.
Yeah.
The part that really bugged me the most is that we're honoring the Godfather?
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, look, the WWE Network basically shits on kayfabe every time they make a brand new broadcast.
Yep.
So why are we still like pretending like character? You know, why the hell is it? Well, we have to induct Razor Ramon when that isn't even remotely the best part of his career.
Uh huh.
You know, and this, granted, Godfather is the best part of his career, but the man did time as Kama Mustafa, and worse yet, he did time as Papa Shango.
Yeah.
I think just surviving that means he deserves to actually be recognized for his entire career and not just what ended up being the best part of it. Because he's been around a lot longer than just The Godfather.
Uh-huh.
A lot longer, and that should be recognized.
Well, it might be recognized when he gets up there for the induction. But it's the fact that he's being inducted as the Godfather.
I don't know. It gets frustrating to me. It's like,
yeah,
you know, the Academy Awards, the Oscars tonight. You know, they are not going to, you know, like if Leo actually does finally win his Oscar.
I hope not.
They're not going to announce his character from the movie. He's not going to come up there in full costume and makeup.
Although that'd be kind of cool if he did.
You know, it's they're going to announce Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get why this is any different. Like, I don't get why the character is more important than the performer.
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
Well, without the performer, you really don't really have the character now, do you?
No, and it has to be the right kind of performer to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, the Godfather gimmick works for that man. You know, you could not... God, there's... I'm trying to think of, like, every worst example you could have is who would be a pimp in the WWE. Like, Stevie Richards could not make a pimp gimmick work.
True.
It gets... I'm just getting, like, real frustrated at the practices, that's all.
I'll admit,
we can put him in the Hall of Fame. I'll say he deserves the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But his whole career deserves the Hall of Fame.
And not just the Godfather, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just waiting to hear from Mason his thoughts about this.
Well, on the actual nomination, it's more along the lines of... Can you hear that? That's him hitting the bottom of the barrel.
I thought you were sharpening a knife. I was like, are you that upset?
No. This is literally getting to the point where they are scraping the bottom of the barrel for nominations. Yeah, not that the guy hasn't had a good career. He's had a very good career. He's gone from, you know, Baba Shango and the whole pimp gimmick and everything. And he's still a very recognizable name. But it's just, again, you know, as Omega said, it's weird that they're putting him in as the Godfather instead of actually just him. It was the same reaction I got when they put Scott Hall in as Razor Ramon instead of Scott Hall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just doesn't make sense. The guy has a worthy, you know, Scott Hall has a worthy career, you know, through all gimmicks that he's played. Yet, they put him as a Razor Ramon because that's the name that they have the rights for.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the Godfather. You know, they could have put him in as Papa Shango, or they could have put him in as his actual name. I have no idea what it is. But,
Tony,
you know, they went with... Sorry, Tony.
Tony, Tim, you're not funny.
Close enough. You know, but they're putting it in as the Godfather because that's the one that they have him most recognized as. So, yeah, I'm sorry, but it's like it's really getting to the point with the Hall of Fame where you need very small groups, or else you're going to be inducting people who are still wrestling. It's like making his debut tonight, Finn Balor, who's going in the Hall of Fame tomorrow night at the night before WrestleMania,
right after his match. For NXT.
Yeah, right up to your mat.
No, we're gonna have it.
This is Joe Swanson debuting tonight in NXT. See him tomorrow night in the WWE Hall of Fame where we induct him straight in.
No, I guarantee you, the day will come where John Cena and Randy Orton will have a match while still on the main roster for who gets to be in the Hall of Fame that year. They will fight.
Yeah.
For who gets to be inducted.
You know, the sad thing about what you just said is I see it happening.
This is what I've been bitching about for years. Like, of course you're going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel when you induct 8-9 people a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's why baseball inducts two.
Yeah.
I mean, and baseball is a way, way, way bigger roster of people to pick from, by the way. You know, I understand wanting to bring these guys back for, you know, the pop and the attention of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in some cases, keep some trademarks alive and sell an extra action figure, a little extra t-shirt on the side, that kind of thing.
Okay, this is a delayed reaction, but I just realized something. You brought up something sports. Wow. Sorry, okay, continue.
No. So, like, threw me off now.
Sorry.
God. Remind me of sports, my brain goes blank.
Oops.
It is... I've said it for years. They induct way too many goddamn people, and it's one of those things where the more you do it, the less meaning it has, and it's to the point where damn near anyone who's ever been on the WWE payroll is a viable option for the Hall of Fame now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this went from being like this super prestigious thing, and they, you know, they still tout it out there. Hall of Famer, Ric Flair, Hall of Famer, Jerry Lawler, Hall of Famer, Booker T. It doesn't have any meaning anymore when you, so many fucking people are in the Hall of Fame now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just so watered down at this point.
Well, I can't disagree with you, and yeah, I think it was, it's been unanimous with the three of us that they induct too many people every single goddamn year. You know, I think maybe now this would be the year to induct the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith. What do you think?
There's a long list of people who we have all said time and time again, you know, Davey Boy, Owen, up until last year, Savage, etc., that all they should be in there. You know, they have the careers to back it up. But, you know, they're not going to go in because of some controversy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I wouldn't even want to put them in there because now it's a joke. You know, the Hall of Fame has gone from actually being something prestigious, something that actually meant something to, as, you know, again, as Omega said, it's, if you've ever worked, you could have worked one day on the WWE roster, yet you're Hall of Fame worthy.
Donald Trump.
Exactly. Look at this fucking celebrity win, for fuck's sake. You know, it's just terrible. You know, the Hall of Fame is just, I don't even want to talk about the Hall of Fame anymore. It's fucking stupid. Stupid idea. That, like, we've been, all three of us, you know, also, if, you know, fucking throw in for old times, like, fucking Spug, Alan, fucking, going all the way back to fucking JJ, Mark the Shark, Trey, JSK, you know, all the people that we've been around all, you know, over a decade. We've all had this conversation in one way, shape, or form, and we were having this conversation nearly 10 years ago.
Yeah.
damn you, Omega. you know, and we saw it all the way back then. You know, that the Hall of Fame would quickly dry up and it would lose its meaning because they were throwing too many people in there at once. And now look at what's going on today. You know, we are literally at scraping the bottom of the barrel of people involved in the 90s when there's still people out there who should have been in there long ago but never will. So can we just treat it the same way we're treating the Oscars and treat it as a gigantic joke? Because fuck Mad Max and fuck The Revenant.
There you go. Well, we're gonna stick with the Hall of Fame here for this next little story, but it's a little bit of a different story. Last Sunday night, we told everybody that February 24th edition of Pawn Stars will feature a former WWE Superstars Hall of Fame ring being pawned at the world famous Gold and Silver Pawn in Las Vegas on the TV show Pawn Stars. And the speculation, and even PW Insider was saying that it was Tammy Sitch, and Tammy Sitch was going to be on the program trying to hawk her ring. Turned out that it was some guy who apparently allegedly knew the Moody's who had Paul Bearer's WWE ring. Brought it in, Paul Bearer, also known as William Moody, passing away a few years ago, inducted into the Hall of Fame. This guy says that, you know, he knows the family. They gave him the ring. Now he's there to pawn it. He was asking for $22,000. And Rick offered him $4,000 for it. And I'm thinking now, maybe he should have taken it. No deal was made. Turns out that Moody's son, Daniel Moody, on his Facebook account said that the ring was a fake and that was not the actual real WWE Hall of Fame ring. And that made me chuckle. The guy could have gotten $4,000 for for something that was counterfeit, and he wouldn't take it.
Well, he probably thought he'd get more on eBay. Or More likely, the whole thing was fabricated. Because, hey, reality.
It's Pawn Stars, yeah. The odds are really good that Daniel Moody busted Pawn Stars kayfabe.
And it's also entirely possible that that is a legitimate ring, and Rick just looked at it and go, you know how many of those fucking things there are now? 4,000.
There you go, yeah. I watched the program, I saw the ring, and it absolutely looked nothing like the Hall of Fame rings that they hand out every year. It did have Paul Bearer engraved inside the ring, and it had the WWE logo on the top of it, but it was like inset, you know what I mean?
You know what it reminded me of?
You saw it too.
Yeah, I saw it too. It reminded me, like, WWE does sell rings of their, you know, that look like their championships that actually kind of look like a Hall of Fame ring at a glance.
Yeah.
You know, it reminded me of the one they just gave Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like a gaudy piece of jewelry rather than in like an actual Hall of Fame ring.
Some kind of knockoff as opposed to the real thing, yeah. Well, what do they sell mock-ups on shopwwe.com?
What they sell on Shop WWE are basically rings that look like championship belts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I do know of other more generic WWE rings that have gone around, official and otherwise. So it's entirely possible that he just bought one off of eBay or, you know, like a Chinese knockoff shop online or something, and then just had Paul Mooney engraved on it.
Well, there it is. It was the name engraved on it was Paul Bearer, not William Mooney.
Yeah, and that's the other thing though, is that WWE Hall of Fame rings do not bear any engraving mark or identifying mark of the receiver. No. They are all a very base generic ring. You know, jump into Google Images, you can find rings from all different years. None of them ever have an identifying marker of who has it.
Does that include any photos of the inside? Because the engraving was the inside of the ring on the show.
That could be possible, but then again, it is easy enough to get the engraving redone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it looked like an actual, like, individually stamped letters to make up his name. So, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a difference between actually having an engraving done and having stamped letters. Because they are... Okay, as I'm looking up, yeah, Omega is right. There is engraving on the inside of the rings. And Paul Bearer is actually engraved as Paul Bearer.
Okay.
Okay, you know, so
Scott Hall's is actually Scott Hall. Jake the Snake Roberts is Jake Snake Roberts. Yeah, it is Jake Snake Roberts, as I'm looking now. The Ultimate Warrior one looks pretty good, because it's actually got the Warrior's face symbol etched into it, too.
Interesting. So, yeah, so I'm sure there are a lot of people who watched Pawn Stars who actually thought, ooh, that's William Moody's ring. No, it wasn't William Moody's real ring, according to his son. And I'll take his
Yeah, son. I don't think these kids would be that hard up on cash to...
Yeah.
Selling his ring.
I'm more or less inclined to believe the actual family member, the actual son, as opposed to the guy on the reality show what said he knew some guy.
Yeah, there you go. I just can't see anybody giving their father's Hall of Fame ring away to a family friend.
Yeah, especially a passed away father.
Yep.
Like, that would be, yeah, like the coldest thing to do ever.
So,
I'm sure if they were ever in financial enough, you know, a bad enough financial state where they look at selling their father's Hall of Fame ring, they pretty much have to make one phone call. Hey, Mark, do you want to buy Dad's old ring? And I'm quite sure, you know, the Undertaker would go, here's some money, keep the ring.
Well, if they got in touch with Mark, Mark would tell Vince. Vince would say, here's money, don't worry about the ring, you keep it.
Vince, yeah, exactly.
Over. Yeah. So, yeah, there's, you know, I guess it's a non-story, not of a molehill type.
To a degree. And look, to be honest, there are legitimate Hall of Fame rings out there on the open market.
Yep.
Abdullah the Butcher's sold his. I believe Hacksaw Jim Duggan has sold his as well.
Tammy,
you know, Sonny, obviously, being the whore that she is and needing legal representation so much, she sold hers.
Well, no. She didn't sell hers. She was going to sell it, and then she made a deal with that porno company and got the money from them for her legal hassles.
Yeah, so she's selling another ring these days.
Yeah. Ooh. That just conjured up three bad images. Equally disgusting. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's almost like I deserved it.
I should have kept my mic muted. I come back to that.
Oh, nice timing, Mr.
God, I'm going back to watching the Oscars where it's all about unity. Unity. Yeah.
There you go. So moving on, there's speculation out there that not too long ago, Daniel Bryan entered the WWE ring to announce his retirement. The speculation is he retired from WWE so he would get his release, as apparently, allegedly, he had deals worked out with New Japan, CMLL, and Ring of Honor to resume wrestling, basically as full a time schedule as he wanted to. But I think we're not telling anybody stories out of school that his retirement doesn't let him out of his WWE contracts. And I think that all of these reports are just fans wishing, hopefully, that he does come back.
And all those are sort of before the last test he took.
Mm-hmm.
Which scared the bejesus out of him.
So, well, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, you know, WWE fans are fucking morons. So, you know, obviously they want to see this happen. They want to see Daniel Bryan escape the clutches of the evil WWE who won't let him wrestle. You know, because, you know, fuck living. Who wants to fucking do that?
Yeah, the last thing we need, and this is going to cause a few groans, but the last thing we need is, I'm sorry, guys, another Chris Benoit.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I'm going back on mute now.
I have to go, but I have to go, yeah.
But nobody disagreed, right? So, and I'm not necessarily talking murder, suicide, or anything like that, but the autopsy on Chris Benoit. Supposedly healthy mid-30s guy, and it was reported that his brain showed like it was an 85-year-old patient with dementia, allegedly from all of the blows to the head that he took throughout his career. So, and basically that's what I was referring to when I brought up Benoit. So. But, yeah, put it to rest. Daniel Bryan's retired, and he's retired for his health. That's all there is to it. Don't expect to see him ever wrestle again, because it ain't going to happen. You guys remember a while back when Seth Rollins' fiance hacked into his social media account and posted all of those pictures of him and the former diva Zara Schreiber from NXT?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and wanted that kind of sort of like ended that relationship. So, you know, Seth and Zara, wound up dating in public as opposed to hiding it because he was engaged. Well, they're broken up now.
So I'd like to have fun with people on social media about this topic. So, and you know, Tumblr's all the craze about Seth Rollins and they don't want to see him with her. I think that someone replied to the post, probably sent his dingle pics to someone who's not a Nazi.
Oh, yeah. Now, in Sarah Schreiber's defense, she did say, and she is right, that the swastika was actually used as an ancient good luck symbol by cultures all over the world before the German Nazi Party adopted it for their evil logo.
Mm-hmm.
And forever identified it with Nazi Germany and the Holocaust and all that other shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was her claim for using it that, oh, it was an ancient good luck symbol.
Uh-huh. See, yeah. I'm in the United States where we have this big thing over the Southern flag right now. The flag of the, you know, the rebels.
The stars,
as it were, the stars and bars. And I hear the exact same argument. Well, it represents, you know, tradition and heritage and, you know, rebellious nature and all that. And, you know,
it represents slave state.
In the modern day, symbols and meanings change. You know, the word fuck used to mean to knock, and now it means something Vince has to have censored on WWE television. Yeah, just because it used to mean one thing doesn't mean it doesn't mean something different now. Mm-hmm. And if that meaning has overridden the original, then you don't get to use the excuse.
I think it was just her trying to backtrack and cover it up.
Oh yeah.
So, but yeah, she got herself fired from WWE for the swastikas, as well as posting racist comments on her social media. And, you know, good riddance to bad rubbish as far as I'm concerned. So.
Thank you, TMZ.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that we were that low on news this week. And by the way, Rock, fuck Tumblr and all the thoughts they have within.
Ooh. Not a fan
Tumblr
of Tumblr.
Tumblr has thoughts?
Yeah. Hive minds.
Jeez. I was younger. Tumblr was a type of car.
No, that's what the Batman drove around in, though. But anyway.
Well, that was also a type of car, so.
Fucking know. They name cars off of fucking everything these days.
Yeah, you guys heard about this indie star who, in the middle of a match, proposed to his opponent, who was, like,
Yeah, Joey Ryan, the guy who flipped people with his dick.
That was Joey Ryan, the dick flipper?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Now you understand the comment I made back to you earlier, Tim?
Yeah, at least he didn't make her grab his dick in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, now I get the comment, because I'm like, okay, well, that was out of left field, but yeah.
Yep.
He proposes, she accepts, and then he body slams her. Gotta wonder about that honeymoon.
Got to admit, as far as distractions to get a pin, kind of hard to top.
Yeah, unless... Yeah, never mind.
Points for creativity. That's about as far as I'll go with that.
He gets points for creativity. We'll do that. On that note, I think we'll take our second and final quick little time out of the evening before we come back to finish off the show with a couple more news notes, quick hits, and, of course, the all-time greatest. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, you can follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. So while we're taking a break, get on Twitter and follow. That being said, we'll be back right after this. I wanna catch you when you fall. I wanna be the one you need. I wanna be the one you breathe. Today's the day I'll fade away. Oh, today's the day I'll fade away.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got fired!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh! Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, just coming into our final segment of the program for tonight. Really quick, tag the all-time greatest. I just want to say thanks to all you guys on Tumblr for tuning in and listening to the program tonight. I appreciate it.
Especially after our comments.
There you go.
Fuck Tumblr.
Anyway.
Everybody on it.
What is it you guys say when I say something that is potentially offensive and bad about not taking responsibility for comments? And to email 8mace@wildtalkradio.com if you're offended or whatever.
If you're offended by what I have to say about Tumblr, remain on fucking Tumblr where you can keep all your fucking offense to your fucking selves.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. TNA, guys, we practically...
No. Can I, okay.
Speaking of offending people.
Yeah, pretty much. Before we get into offending people with TNA talk, we sort of jumped over a little mention that we had for the last segment, which was Shinsuke Nakamura officially signs with WWE.
I missed that, yeah. Shinsuke Nakamura officially signs with WWE. Go.
Yeah. Swagscape signs, good for him. This sort of brought up a little something that I had an interaction over the last couple of days. Well, a couple of days ago. People, and I'm going to, again, you two can sit back. Mace is going to have a little rant. If there's one thing that I hate just as much as people on Tumblr, it's hardcore WWE marks in this day and age. Especially those of the opinion of, you're not anything unless you're signed with the WWE. I recently had a bit of a Twitter conversation with someone who's going to remain nameless, but they know who they are, about Kenny Omega. Not the TJ Omega that we got sitting here tonight. Now, Kenny Omega is a very talented guy. None of us can really deny that. You know, the guy got a blow up doll over, for fuck's sake. And it seems that because he's not with the WWE, he's a bad wrestler. He's not good enough. I'm sorry, but this type of fucking small-minded fucking look on wrestling is why I am fucking done with this shit after WrestleMania. Okay? I'm done talking wrestling with anybody because of shit like this. Because of this fucking rampant WWE fanboyism that unless they've signed on the dotted line and started sucking off Triple H or Vince, they're a worthless guy. There are people that have finally signed with the company, you know, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, who have turned that company down many, many times over their careers for contracts in Japan, in you know, staying on the indie scene to work TNA, to work Ring of Honor. It doesn't mean that they're a bad wrestler. It's just that they don't want to work with the WWE system, which is fair enough. You know, you've got Doc Gallows, who's just coming back after a terrible time as Festus. He made his name overseas in New Japan. It didn't mean he was a bad wrestler. It's just that he didn't want to work with the WWE at the time. You know, and as much as I applaud guys like Nakamura who have signed with the WWE and are about to get great exposure, just because you don't sign with the company doesn't mean you're a bad wrestler. Sorry, I just had to get that off my goddamn chest because that pissed me off when I hear small-minded thinking that unless you're in X company, you're fucking worthless. I know a million and one fucking wrestlers down here in Australia that would kill to be on a WWE roster that could out-wrestle half the people on that fucking roster but will never get a chance because they don't want to leave this country. Same with people in Japan. Same with people in Europe. All around the fucking world. Just because they're not in the WWE doesn't mean that they're fucking worthless. I'm done.
So at this point, I have a sounder to play. This just in. Leo wins. Everyone can stop with the tweets. Leo wins. We can move on with the rest of our lives.
The bear was screwed.
Leo. And still no memes on Twitter.
Leo won. What the fuck?
What the fuck is that, Tim?
What the fuck are you... Tim?
Tim, turn off the porn.
So you have at least enough respect to beat off after the show.
Take a hike. I don't know what the hell that was. It's a pop under when I'm surfing for news and shit like that. Don't be a smart ass.
Well, you should have heard our end.
I don't even know. I don't know. It's coming like, where the fuck is that coming from?
Like, okay, where's
this? I don't even know what it was.
Yes, anyway. So Leo wins and the girl from Scott Pilgrim won Best Actress?
I don't know.
No, probably not enough people saw Scott Pilgrim to understand who she is. So.
No, when they do one award, one good award, and then they do five crappy awards, you kind of lose interest on who won things. Like they were doing foreign film like 20 minutes ago.
Okay. So speaking about things losing interest, Tim was talking about TNA?
Yeah, but I lost interest.
So since he lost interest, why don't you just go to the all-time greatest?
Well, this is just TNA is apparently looking for potential financial partners. Apparently Panda Energy hasn't been funding the company for months. Would you guys invest in TNA if you had the money?
No.
Omega?
I was actually listening to Leo whine during his speech. What?
Yeah, he's talking about the underprivileged people.
This is why I don't listen to Leo DiCaprio.
Seriously, the guy's been waiting for how long he finally wins the Oscar and he wastes his speech on trying to raise awareness like some fucking political person? No, dude.
You know, raise awareness all you want. Right now, you just did something that you've been trying to do for, what, 20 years now? Save the
But the first words out of your mouth should have been, I finally fucking did it.
You like me. You really like me. I mean, steal Sally Field's line. I don't care. Or, yeah, Sally Field.
All right. Still, since I'm on Twitter. Fake SportsCenter. Leonardo DiCaprio finally won an Oscar. In other news, Tony Romo and the Dallas Cowboys are still losers. Hashtag Oscars.
You just had to throw that in because of Kane Kittens, didn't you?
Yeah. And guess what? I'm going to favor this one, and we're going to say it again Thursday on the rack for Tweet of the Week.
Okay, so yeah, I'm not going to give any money to TNA. So ESPN runs a story that Kurt Angle says he's not retiring. He's just taking a year off, and he'll come back to wrestling. Is that a big deal? Meh.
Eh. Really don't care.
We'll see you in a year, Kurt.
If TNA is still around by then, who knows?
There you go.
It's like, the four of us might be able to pull money and buy it at this point.
Well, what was the initial asking price for WCW? And Vince bought it for like $1 million.
I think it was about 15 mil.
Yeah, it was it's pocket change for Vince.
Yeah. I thought that, Bischoff was working on raising like 22, 25 million bucks and he was just like right around the corner and then they decided no more TV time and it was like, well, that kind of sort of screwed the value right there.
Yeah, they had a whole article on the all-new WWE.com all about that this week. Okay.
Well, at this point in time, why don't we just, leap into the all-time greatest?
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop-de-freaking-doo!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Cesaro wins the first ever Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, taking on Hulk Hogan, body slamming Andre the Giant. Oh my god.
Ugh. Alright, admittedly, I've seen the replay many times, but there's no way for me to have experienced what it was like to see Andre getting slammed by Hogan at WrestleMania 3.
Oh boy.
Cesaro basically deadlifting Big Show over the top rope. Big Show's helping a little bit, but that's still 450 pounds.
In 5 years, it'll be 730 pounds.
But, I can imagine that's like the closest I'm ever going to see to a moment like that. It was absolutely incredible to watch. You know, of all the times I've seen John Cena pick up the Big Show for an FU/attitude adjustment, Cesaro doing that was impressive. That said, you basically, you're talking about a moment in wrestling history that basically cemented the entire industry as something that was going to be around forever. You know, at a time when WrestleMania was still kind of a shaky thing, because wrestling was not what it is now. You know, okay, so yeah, huge indoor attendance record, et cetera, et cetera. It was built up on a moment like that. It was built up on the admittedly false billing that Andre had never been slammed. I want to say at the time they're even like playing up a fake undefeated streak for Andre. Like, they were going all out to make it seem like this was an absolute impossibility, and since you never saw anyone the size of Andre, you believed every single word of it. I don't see that. Like, if you don't have that moment, I don't think you have the moment of Cesaro deadlifting Big Show. Well, of course, you don't have the Andre Battle Royal, but that aside, yeah, it's just too significant a moment.
And here Tim thought, oh no, he's gonna pick Cesaro, oh no, he's gonna pick Cesaro. What an idiot, what a millennial, he's gonna pick Cesaro.
Millennial, sure.
I don't know. Anyway.
Millennial born in the 80s, that's a new one.
You know, cause, you know, they're the downfall of cereal. Anyway, man.
Yeah, nobody on this program is actually a millennial, so no, I never would have called him a millennial, I just would have called him stupid if he hadn't.
Anyway, Mace.
Technically, millennial is anyone from 1982. through 2005. But anyway.
It's a funny definition there.
Yeah, original over the memorial. Hogan slams Andre at 12 million pounds, brother.
It's 11.9 now. 11.9 million. Tim.
As impressive as he is, pound for pound, one of the strongest guys on the current WWE roster, despite the fact that, you know, he's, like, injured and we won't see him for a while. Big Show is nowhere near as heavy as Andre was. Big Show is nowhere near as big as Andre was. Andre was freakish. And strangely enough, as every year goes by with the telling of the story of how much Andre weighed when Hogan slammed him, he keeps getting heavier. Every year. But it was the body slam heard around the world. A lot of people don't realize that Andre was passing the torch, so to speak, to Hogan because he had back problems from hell at the time and needed time off. And he let Hogan go ahead and slam him with his fucked up back and the whole bit. And it sold a major, massive pay-per-view. It literally, at the time, stunned the entire wrestling world, which was a lot smaller then than it is now. But, yeah, that's the one that that gets the nod, the nomination, and wins the Oscar.
Okay. Daniel Bryan wins twice in one night at WrestleMania 30, where the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels retires the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, Mace.
I have a lot of respect for anybody who pulls double duty on the same card. And the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30 story was more about the fans coming up and basically finally getting what they wanted. That being said, there's a lot of emotion tied behind Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair. And I can't discount that moment at the end where, you know, Shawn's in the corner getting ready to deliver the superkick, Flair's on his knees going, hit me, just hit me. And you see Shawn say, I'm sorry, I love you, and then kick him in the face for the pin. You know, that is some absolutely amazing storytelling by two of the best storytellers in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So, I gotta give it to Michaels retiring Flair.
I'm going to Tim, because he made a comment.
No, I just breathed. It was, you know, like, breath. That's all I did. But, yeah, I'll still go. Daniel Bryan, it's a feel-good story. It was for the fans, by the fans, blah, 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 blah. It was a joyous moment. Yay! Double duty! Total respect, like May said. And, of course, we have that respect for anybody pulling double duty because we've been around the business and know what it's like to have to actually go all out twice in a night and make it look like you're actually leaving nothing behind. That being said, the emotion was absolutely real. HBK Ric Flair. Sure. Peeling back the curtain, it's Flair's last match for WWE, and they're going to send him out with a bang, and they're going to make it all, you know, this great story, and who's better to tell it than two of the best storytellers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, the emotion that you could see it in his face, the emotion that Shawn Michaels showed when he apologized and said that I love you right before he kicked Rick's head off,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of ironic. That emotion, that was real. I mean, you could see it in his entire, not just his demeanor. He didn't sell an emotion. He showed you his true feelings, which is a little different. In professional wrestling, when you got the storyline and this angle, you're selling emotion if you're a good storyteller. And Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels, like I said, two of the best in the business in being able to do that. But this was not a sales job. This was genuine. And anybody with a modicum of intelligence could tell that that one moment was as real as it gets. And it was just one of those iconic moments that will, that'll go on forever. I mean, like my son's kids will wind up talking about that moment when they see it on whatever edition of YouTube, exists by the time they come around.
So what is
for another 20 years.
So would you tell me it is an all-time great WrestleMania moment?
That is one of the all-time great WrestleMania moments, and it moves on.
Well, Omega, what's your thought?
That'd be different just for the hell of it.
God, I honestly wish I could. I honestly wish I could. Because Daniel Bryan winning was... That was the culmination of, like, you know, 2 years worth of... You know, or longer of WWE having the most popular guy pro wrestling has had in decades and doing nothing with it. Just letting it squander, hoping it goes away. It doesn't go away, but hey, don't you like Cena anymore? It's like, hey, we brought back Batista. Don't you like him? No. No. We have our hearts set. And they finally had to do it, thanks to CM Punk screwing the whole company over. But, you're talking about the culmination of 2.5 years of fighting and clawing to, you know, to retain that popularity in spite of everything. Shawn versus Rick, you're talking about the culmination of one of the greatest careers in pro wrestling history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2.5 years versus, what, 30? Longer? Like, you can't. You can't go against that. The moment at the end of the match, you know, I'm sorry, I love you, it just cements it. You know, it's not just some guy losing a retirement match, it's, you know, there's no victory. Which is what tells the story of it. Mm-hmm. Nobody in that, you know, Shawn's hand was raised. Nobody won that night. That's what makes it great.
There you go. So, Shawn Michaels moves on. So did Hulk Hogan body slamming Andre the Giant. Next week, Steve Austin passes out. And Undertaker retires Shawn Michaels. And Icon versus Icon, Hulk Hogan versus The Rock, and Brock Lesnar conquers the streak.
God damn. Those two matchups are going to be like, yeah. Shit.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, so we start with Mace. Who is the worst actor in wrestling?
Clarify. Like, are we talking like an actor who has gotten involved in a wrestling capacity, or are we talking wrestlers in their acting ability?
Wrestlers in their acting ability.
All of them.
God, part of me wants to say, like, John Cena in the Marine, or, you know, anything to do with Hulk Hogan. Oh, good God.
It doesn't have to be about movies, just in general. Who they are, whether they're, how they portray their character, anything.
Oh, God, Mick Foley in anything. Anytime he did a guest appearance on, like, a TV show or something, oh my God, it was terrible.
I don't think he's fully grasping the scope you're going for, Rock.
No, I'm talking about in general in wrestling. Doesn't have to be, you know...
Yeah, WWE Raw is also a television show,
yeah,
for
Raw,
example.
Yeah, Raw is a television show.
Well, yeah, I'd probably still put it down to Mick Foley, actually.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Tim, who is the worst actress in wrestling?
Vicky. Get Edel.
Okay. Omega, who is the best actress in wrestling?
The best actress?
Yes.
I have to go through a lot here, don't I?
Who portrays their character the best?
I know. I'm thinking of this. Yes.
Inflatable hands around. Just saying, I'm trying to give you help.
I know you're trying to help here. It's a lot of female wrestlers to cover here. You know, and you're expecting me to default to Trish. I'm not.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. The inflatable hands that fly around, and she hugs a lot of people.
I don't think Bailey's acting. That's the thing. No, if I'm going, like, acting ability, you know, it's not going to be something that's a personality turned to 11. It's going to be the counterpoint, you know, and there I'm thinking, like, Awesome Kong.
Okay.
Because in any interview I've ever seen, she is nothing like the beast she portrays.
No.
She is extremely good at being very fucking scary.
Yeah.
That being said, she's a legitimate tough bitch. When she wants to be.
Mace, who is the best supporting actor in wrestling?
Paul Heyman.
What was that, Tim?
You and your Oscar-themed bullshit.
Yep. Which means, Tim, who is the best actor in wrestling?
How come I didn't get the supporting actor role, goddammit?
Because you're supposedly the lead host of the show, so you would, you know, if you were nominated for a category.
Well, I've just got to default to Vince McMahon.
Okay. And finally, Omega, what would your trademark be for? What would that description be for?
God, what would it be for? Fictional character, like, portrayed in digital video recording, digital audio recording. Digital photography, digital... I don't know, digital binary code? I don't know. I don't have an hour to list off all the specifics that a trademark would have to cover.
Better question. Would your trademark cover suits?
No, it would not cover suits, but it would cover pogs.
There you go. And that's Quick Hits.
And that's another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Once again, don't forget, follow Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio. But before you do anything else, tune in to the Raw Post Show tomorrow night, immediately following Raw.
It's the return of the Undertaker. We'll talk all about it at 11:10 p.m. Eastern at the Raw Post Show.
And, of course, on Thursday night, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award, multi-award-winning The Rack with Lindsay Ward.
Hopefully by then she'll be all settled in to the new house.
Did she talk about it last Thursday at all?
No.
Okay. Well, then she has to talk about it this Thursday. Just cause.
Just cause. Anyway, go listen to The Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk about NXT. We will talk all the news, the discussion or two. It's The Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Go back and listen to last week's episode where we talked to the founder of Global Force Wrestling, Jeff Jarrett. You can go to rackradioshow.com on Twitter. You can go to Rack Radio Show, facebook.com/rackradioshow, youtube.com/rackradioshow. Follow Lindsay on Twitter at Linz Ward.
Saturday night, midnight-ish. I'm going to, you know, like 12:30 midnight, tune in for another edition of CB Radio.
Yeah, go back and listen to last week's episode when it gets posted tomorrow for the Lone Jobber birthday bonanza.
I hate the way you said bonanza.
Why?
Just saying.
And the only way reason was a bonanza because I played the bonanza theme and called it a bonanza. Anyway, check it out. CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight edition. It's weird, wacky, it's the unusual. CB Radio live on Facebook, Twitter. When a celebrity dies, use hashtag blame Rob. Oh, and I forgot to mention, went for the plug on the rack. Check out the rack, Extra Total Divas. The upcoming episodes will be available at some point this week. And, because it's brand new for the show, with the whole injury roundup, when a wrestler gets injured, you tweet us with the hashtag blame Brent.
Blame what?
Blame Brent.
That's a brand spanking new one.
It is. We created it on Thursday. So hashtag blame Brent.
Wait for drug busts?
When a celebrity gets arrested, it's hashtag blame sub. When someone dies, it's blame Rob. And when a wrestler gets injured, hashtag blame Brent.
Damn.
We're all about the social media interaction.
I've got one for you. I'll tell you later.
Okay. Anyway, I'm done with the plugs. Your turn.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter not once but twice. At Flames Forums. That's my main Twitter. Firing up almost any day now. At Man Kitchen TV. Follow me there as well, especially if you're a foodie and into food.
So hold on. So if you burn something in the oven, is it hashtag blame Tim?
No, and shut up, because I burn shit in the oven. I don't burn shit, period. Speaking about burning shit, before you burn it down, check out my Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/men, M-E-N, chefs, C-H-E-F-S. You can follow me there. And if you don't have Twitter, you can still keep up to date on what happens when I post onto Twitter, because it automatically will post on the Facebook account. Follow Mace on Twitter, why don't you? I dare you. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you still want to follow me on Twitter, it's at the Mace Thing. You can also find all my other related nonsense over at theouterhaven.net. And I've got a bunch of extra plugs to do this time around. The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Australian movie premiere is coming up on Sunday, 24th of April at the Astor Theatre, 1 Chapel Street, St. Kilda East. Tickets for the show itself are $30 each, available at ticketblasters.com.au. Also available at that same place is a combo pass for the Jake the Snake movie and Melbourne City Wrestling Ballroom Ball package. At Melbourne City Wrestling Ballroom Brawl, Saturday, April 30th at the Thornbury Theatre. Go to melbournecitywrestling.com.au for more information. Also, to add even more onto that...
Mace, slow down.
I know, I got too much shit to cover, dude, so unless you want to stop the music, we take 6 hours. People just have to slow me down. Somehow. See, now you made me lose my place. April 30th at St. Kilda Town Hall, 10 a.m., Diamond Dallas Page will be doing a DDP Yoga seminar workshop thing. Tickets available at ticketblaster.com.au at $90 each. This is limited attendance, so please make sure you get your tickets ASAP. Also, with even more appearances for wrestling companies, Outback Championship Wrestling, Friday, March 11th at the Ashwood Performing Arts Centre in Ashwood, Victoria. We'll see the return of Ricardo Rodriguez to the OCW ring. And then to follow that up 2 weeks later on Saturday, March 26th at the White Horse Club in Burwood East, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, will be making an appearance for Outback Championship Wrestling. You can get tickets for both events at facebook.com/OCWAUS. A total good package, $32 to see both shows. Otherwise, I think you're paying $20 per show. And if you end up at Outback Championship Wrestling and you see a cameraman with long hair getting in the way of a lot of things, that would be myself. So say hi. And I think I'm done.
Hi.
Either of those things are you getting into free in exchange for those plugs?
I'm not getting into anything for free. I work my butt off, and I just happen to be in a position where I might be able to get interviews for this goddamn site. So Tim, shut the fuck up.
There you go. Omega.
If you are inclined to use Facebook, I can be found over there at TJ Reviews, but pretty much everything else can be found at TJ Omega. TJ Omega is the Twitter account. TJ Omega is the channel on YouTube. TJOmega.org is the site with exclusive videos. And now, TJOmega.tumblr.com.
You're dead to me.
I was waiting for that. Don't forget to follow Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. I think we're done with all the plugs.
Get us on iTunes, search Wild Talk Radio Network, same with Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio.
Now we're done with the plugs. Everybody, thanks for joining us. Don't forget, next Sunday night, regular time, 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern, another edition, WTR Sunday Night. Let's hope that there's stuff to talk about. See you then.